You are listening to the Heart of Tradition podcast. Hello, everyone. Short podcast today on pregnancy and what to look out for, how to have a healthy birth, just some ideas coming off of a couple paragraphs here that I was reading. I'll go ahead and read what this says. Concerning this topic, remember that most modern-day medical tests and interventions are unnecessary when a conscious parent is available. A modern childbirth can be had without doing harm to the child. Our childbirth at a birth center, although the same applies to a home birth and may even be better, only had a few Doppler fetal heartbeat checks done with a handheld unit which could not be refused. Rapid ultrasound, in parentheses. We refused mercury-containing Rogam shots, or the so-called healthy alternative, only washed with mercury Rogam shots before or after birth. The synthetic K2 shot and its toxic propylene glycol preservative, all ultrasound tests, the so-called no-stress test, which is long exposure to ultrasound, the heel prick test for rare diseases whose proposed cure was riskier than what nutrient-dense foods could heal anyways or could be detected later based on symptoms, the strep test, the hepatitis B vaccine, which is a rare occurrence in newborns born to healthy mothers, eye ointment, the early cord clamping madness which harms beyond simple anemia. This cord clamping keeps the cord blood from coming into the child, and now it's becoming less and less practiced. They used to do it as immediately, and so typically they wait like a few minutes now to let the cord blood pump back into the child. The stem cells and a lot of this powerful blood there needs to be, it's part of the child, his first constitutionality, and you don't want to take that patrimony, I guess, from him. A lot of people leave it for about 15 to 20 minutes until it stops pulsating. So it's not clamped, right? The eye ointment, the early cord clamping madness, which harms beyond simple anemia, all vaccines, etc. So to be successful, you must be awake, know the subject, and seek understanding minds where possible. One often has to give up the classic OBGYN and pediatrician for other more open-minded medical fields, including midwives, RNs, naturopath, NDs, homeopath, RNs, ND pediatricians, etc. Typically, there is a non-confrontational way to proceed by being prepared, such as having K2 drops applied at home instead of the hospital K2 shot, mentioning your desire for a delayed schedule for vaccines, even if this is untrue, mentioning that in Europe, Rogam shots are only given after birth and only if the child is found to be Rh positive, refusal on religious grounds, being aware of the 500% legal increase in the amplification of ultrasound waves since legislation in 1993, the well-known dangers of EMF waves, the risks written directly on the insert of vaccines, K2 shots, Synagis, etc. Bring along, just in case, a lawyer letterhead affidavit listing your refusal, stating that you will file suit against any staff members who try to subvert your will. If they must weigh the baby, they will have to do it under your supervision. Be alert and calm. The individual who seeks freedom is always given a golden thread which guides him or her, even in the most sordid place on earth. No fear, be as wise as a serpent. Part of their standard care can include the hepatitis B vaccine. There's also been reports of people that only got the K2 shot and the Rogam shot, which are technically outside of this whole vaccine and some of these more invasive, so to speak, types of testing and things that they can do for the child, amniocentesis or any of these where they're, or heavy ultrasound where you're wearing the belt and those ultrasound meters and they're always pumping in there trying to find the heartbeat of the baby live at all moments. And it's just kind of ridiculous because this is harming the child. So you're way beyond the first rule of medicine, which is do no harm. And so in that sense, you're beyond the Hippocratic Oath. You're not in a true form of medicine at all. And so it can work, this form of medicine, in some situations, like when you get to an urgency part of whatever's happening to you, then yes, then these things can come in and their, invasive aggression and all those things actually only works whenever something worse is happening. And so we can be thankful to modern medicine for some of the powerful ways that it's able to pull things, put things together, from even synthetic medication for, you see a schizophrenic who comes back into the world and becomes a normal person under this certain medication. You think, wow, that's powerful, So there is some truth to these things, and that can't be denied, and that would be stupid to deny modern medicine all that. And it's not even intelligent for me as a naturopath to deny even modern medicine a lot of their other, it's not just urgency care, but after there's a lot of room for improvement in places where people are coming around. People are getting more ethical and less mechanical about these things. And I think a lot of doctors have, who are becoming aware of the dangers of vaccines and other things. There's more and more, they may be silent majority or silent crowd, maybe silent minority or whatever, but it's growing. They just can't speak too much about it yet. So I was just putting this there. Some of this advice you can find in the Nourishing Traditions book of Baby and Child Care by Sally Fallon and Thomas Cowan. But this goes along with what we found in the chapter on fertility and a healthy birth, which is another podcast you can find, which comes from the book The Mysteries of Nutrition, Life-Changing Ideas to Heal the Body. And so that lays out kind of the best way to bring about the preconception diet for the the first year, and then conceive, and then beyond for breastfeeding and the early life of the child and beyond, But those are part and parcel. But this actual add-on to the book that's just been recently added on, I thought was important because it just lays out some of the ways that they've tried to get you on a more, oh, these are okay. Like I said, a woman had an autistic child born, and it's not just from that. There's 5G, there's all sorts of things we're doing, which opens the blood-brain barrier and these waves, and there's things that happen to the child that can create problems beyond what we do after the child is born, which is to say vaccines or whatever. There can be already problems happening before that happens. So we have to be smart about all stages of this. And it's almost like you have to become a less of a group soul, meaning less of a group herd type of thinker, like consensus type of thinker. I mean, science was never based on consensus. It was always one individual challenging the paradigm and breaking through, right? So it's not about consensus thinking. It's about, living your truth and what that is, and trying to figure out what, not doing harm to others or yourself. And people can detect that, Someone with no education at all can detect that someone's doing harm to his child and try to fight that back with no studies, with no nothing. And they'd be right to do so, because a lot of these studies are funded and biased because of their funding. So you can't just trust studies either. And the people that get so adamant on studies, even doctors, where it's all about the studies. And I'm not saying studies don't provide things. They do. They provide all sorts of information. But when you base your whole existence on studies, what you fail to see is that it is possible that if a group has more information than you do, that's like Kasparov, the master chess player, said that the person who wins the chess game has more information. So if your opponents or the vaccine makers or these higher levels or NASA, as far as climate change, like maybe they know the temperature of the universe is heating up. Anybody who has more information than you could possibly have at these higher levels, they can use that information against you. And so it may take 5 or 10 years for studies to come out confirming what people started to feel was wrong with this, that, or the other, because they have an information leap ahead of people. And, technology and quantum physics and a lot of these things are ahead of our philosophical way of thinking already. And so there's pockets where this knowledge and wisdom is being applied. There's technologies we haven't seen yet that exist. under the radar. And so what I'm saying is you can't wait for the perfect study to start using your moral compass to go, this is wrong, this isn't right, this is, you know, untrue. This is, you know, you have to have that third eye or whatever you want to call it, that heart, mind, intuition, where your mind is thinking, but your heart is active too. And so that way you can pierce through this stuff and not be a victim to it way before it becomes, we figure it out. Now you could say, oh, well, this sounds like a bunch of just conspiracy, but it's not. Look at glyphosate. Look at BPA. Look at all these things that were DDT at the time, fluoride, like all the things that are plaguing us, we found out about 10 years too late, 20 years too late. Glyphosate becomes this big search term now, and it's been around for, I don't know, what, 20, 30, 40 years? I don't know the exact date, but it's been around for a long time, or some version of it, and it's been ubiquitous, even up into the organic foods movement. It's been prevalent. And we just find out about it in the last few years where we start going, wait a minute. And so it's like, we have to be smarter than that. You know, be wise as a serpent, as it said, we have to be as smart as the smartest Darth Vader person that's opposing us, whatever that could be. And it's not to paint the world as like this big enemy, situation, but you do have to, be wise because, you know, part of your evolution, our evolution is to learn boundaries and learn self-respect and, you know, to thine own self be true and all these things. And so in order to get there, you can't just identify with the herd and the status quo. You have to be able to break through pieces of that fabric that don't work. You know, there's plenty of adherences and groupthink. I mean, look at what happened in Russia. You know, if you ever listen to Solzhenitsyn, when he talks about how Russia was overtaken by this cabal, you know, the Russian Revolution, and then that led to the Soviets, and then that led to all these death camps and gulags, and, you know, he won the Nobel Prize for the Gulag Archipelago. But he said there was a time when that could have been stopped, when they ran into Leningrad, and there was police arrested one-fourth of the city, but they didn't have very many police. But the thing is they had enough to scare everyone, and no one fought back. And he just thought back so many times. He said he just, you know, because he went through those gulags, and he thought back and he said, what, why couldn't we have just, you know, six guys with pickaxes that didn't have any weapons like guns, sabotage those guards that came in looking for them? And if more people would have done that, the whole thing would have been over, but nobody did. And so, or some did, but not enough. And so that whole 80 million people, whether you believe that or you believe the 40 million figure or the 20 million figure of Russian, the last 80 years of Russian Soviet rule and the revolution and all the genocide that caused, that none of that would have had to happen, but people weren't strong enough and they were identified too much with the group soul. And so there was needing to be a breaking away of the group soul mentality in order for us to find the truth again, especially once things have gotten out of control, which they are now. And it's funny because Dostoevsky, before he died before the revolution took place, but it was in its build-up phase, especially as a lot of the media was being filled with these positions of double agents who were working in the media to further their agenda. And we see that happening now. You know, all these media positions and distributors and publishers and all these, you know, there's probably 100 top positions if you wanted to pick all of that world of communications. There's probably 100 top positions. And it doesn't take an insane mind to think that from either a secret society perspective or from a collective greed or a collective will perspective, groups and G20s and all of these groupings and Bilderbergs and, you know, trifecta, what do you call it, trilateral and CFR and all these types of groupings, that someone couldn't say, hey, let's fill those 100 positions over the next century. You know, that's not ridiculous. And especially because we see that that's what's happened. You know, there's 5 media companies in America that run everything. And so that's a very small picnic table to control what people are seeing, you know. So it's not conspiracy anymore. This is facts now. So these are conspiracy facts. So we have to start waking up to that. And, you know, this podcast was definitely on pregnancy and some of the things that can be dangerous. But like I said, when you can get a Rogam shot and the vitamin K2 shot and think that those are okay because you're anti-vax, and then your child is born with autism and you start to go back and trace what happened and you find out that they gave the child a hepatitis B vaccine as a part of standard of care in the hospital, and they didn't tell you when they weighed the child, or you find out that the Rogam shot acts in a way like a vaccine already, and that it has mercury in it, and even the alternative versions have washed mercury in them, which that's their way of getting around telling you that the mercury's in there, as they say they only wash it with that, which is ridiculous. And so, or they put aluminum or other things in there. So, you know, that's just one or two different things. There's a million other things you need to refuse as far as ultrasounds and all these different tests, the no stress test, all these things they try to get you to take that they say there's no way the mother can. No. It's better to find a birth center or a home birth with midwives who understand all this stuff and go there and then have, you know, go to the hospital in the case of an emergency than, or a water birth or something in a birth center or at your home, than to automatically declare emergency and get there with your cesarean and all the stuff that the hospital demands. You know, you're in a different insurance profile when you're at your home or when you're in a birth center, even. There's still a little bit different profile than the hospital's responsibility. So you want to, you know, get out of these things and do it right. You know, come check out our books. I also recommend the magnesium, the transdermal magnesium, for everyone, from pregnancy, mothers, third trimester especially, but all throughout pregnancy. The magnesium levels need to stay high because that's how all of the cells are communicating with each other. All the nutrients are being delivered in the blood. All the blood, the oxygenation of the blood is happening through magnesium, through conjugation, through uptake and offloading of bonds that are caused by magnesium with enzymes. And so you need to be able to, even the platelets of the hemoglobin are shaped through magnesium, and they can have less, they can have better or worse shaping due to these lack of magnesium at the cellular level. And then this creates a stickier, you know, we know about the magnesium with the blood, the thromboxane, which it, you know, it limits and controls the regulation of thromboxane. So what does it do? It basically renders the blood the right amount of fluidity. And so that fluidity, we also know it's hypotensive. This has been known for a long time. It was always given in case of hypertension, things like that. But so knowing all this, like, the magnesium is definitely helpful in keeping the blood flowing right and not having too much stickiness. And that's how the efficiency of oxygen delivery in the blood works, is the stickiness is to the right level where the oxygen molecule can fit on the hemoglobin and not be overly stuck to it and then have a hard problem offloading because the bond is 2,000 to 500,000 times stronger than it should be or whatever. So magnesium brings about that flexibility and that just right amount. You know, it's got this granulated, I guess you could call it traction viscosity, where it's like this perfect viscosity that has traction in it. And this allows the system to move in a not machine-like way, but in a living way, but with some of the technologies of a machine, in the sense that there's an exactitude which can happen through the flow of the electromagnetism of the blood. So anyway, all these things are important. So check out our $3 a week is all it costs. It's in glass bottles, and unlike 95% of brands, it's actually truly from Zechstein. Most of the brands are using fake Zechstein with their genuine or ancient or whatever kind of logos they use to try to self-certify that. But if you want to call the engineers yourself in Vendam in Holland, the only place you're going to be able to do that is through Zechstein Inside logo that you see on the bottle, which is a trademark. The word Zechstein cannot be protected. The logo can. So anyway, now you have a lot more information. If you want more information on the fertility diet associated with the pregnancy, check out other podcasts or check out our new book, The Mysteries of Nutrition. And we also have it on audiobook. And we will be updating new editions and keep this thing, what do you call it, moving forward and updating to fit with the American paradigm, because I was in France 15 years. I am a naturopath and trying to adapt to the deficiencies and difficulties encountered in the American system. So I'm American, but, you know, it's just been a while since I've been here, so it took me a while to get my feet wet. Anyway, come check us out at theheartoftradition.com.